A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Little half swing on Tubin's going to have only one play. That'll tie the game. Check swing by Stefanik ties it up on a ground out. That's the second out of the inning. Neto crosses the plate at 7-7.
That is how things got tied up in yesterday's eventual 9-7 loss for your Houston Astros, who are heading to San Francisco to take on the Giants starting tonight. Rough inning for Ryan Presley, who also pitched on Saturday. Saturday, he threw 25 pitches. He allowed 2 hits. He had a wild pitch. Yesterday, he had a wild pitch. He allowed a couple of hits and that little sacrifice ground ball that ultimately led to the Astros having a tie game. And then, of course, Josh Hader allows a well-hit ball down the left field line that Trey Cabbage seemed to have in his glove, pops out of his glove. It's a walk-off for the Angels, who, instead of being swept by the Astros, Houston's only able to take 2 of 3. And, yeah, it just completely ruins the weekend for me. I wanted the second sweep of the year. This was an opportunity. And you could have been 4 games under 500 for the first time since April 9th. Instead, here you are asking a lot of questions, and I think specifically, Joe, about what do you do, how do you use your, I guess, setup guy, Ryan Presley, going forward.
Yeah, because it's just, you know, look, hey, you win yesterday's game. We give like a slight criticism to Joe Espada for using Presley in back-to-back days. And, well, that's it. Then, like, everyone moves on, and the world's fine. Here come the Giants, and you see how the Astros can try to do that. It is crazy just to think, like you keep saying it, and it just, like, every time you say it, it blows my mind still, that they've only have one sweep this year.
Yeah.
Like it's just like the Astros just can't sweep a team in 2024. It's just who they are. But yeah, all it does is raise questions about what their plan is and, you know, how aggressive this team should be. Thinking back to the Dana Brown quote to Chandler Rome in The Athletic about being buyers versus sellers. It's like, well, if you're going to buy, like, go buy a bullpen arm. Go fix your problems. Like go fix your problems right now. Demote Ryan Presley to the sixth inning. Montero goes to mop-up role. And bring in a new bullpen arm that gets you to the seventh. Like, that's what you're looking to acquire. We're not asking the Astros to go get another Josh Hader. I'm not asking the Astros to trade for this Mason Miller kid from the A's to become your new closer and put Josh Hader in the eighth. Like, that's not what we're asking for. We're asking for someone to pitch the seventh inning more consistently and have Abreu pitch in the eighth.
Taylor Scott's had a good year. Seth Martinez has had a good year. I understand that Ryan Presley's done a lot for you. But just because somebody has done a lot for you does not mean that they should continue to play.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, the same problem that we had last year with Dusty Baker running the show, that everyone complained about, Martin Maldonado is playing too much over Yiner Diaz, Chaz McCormick isn't playing enough. This year, the version of that is Ryan Presley still has a setup role despite an ERA of 5.5. And Jose Abreu has been playing a lot as well. And even if he's hitting a little bit better of late, I mean, my God, rock bottom was very, very bottomy.
Maybe is Ryan Presley need to go to Florida?
I mean, I'm not opposed to it, but I think that the real thing that the Astros seem to be doing right now is making sure that his ego is not damaged in any way.
And I mean, at this point, it's damaged, I'd imagine.
It is very damaged, but, you know, after the game, you still got, instead of addressing it, from a pragmatic perspective, saying like, yeah, he's just not pitching well right now, and maybe we have to think about different roles for him. Here is Joe Espada, Astros manager, talking about Presley's role.
We're going to continue to rely on him, man. He's one of our guys. He's big part of our bullpen, and I believe in him. He has gotten big outs for us in the past, and he will.
I understand that. You're not going to hear Joe Espada say, he sucked! Ugh! Which we all would like to hear, in a way. But
it'd be refreshing.
I just don't understand how you can justify using him going forward. And I don't know if, as Jackie Daytona tweeted at us, at Gallant says, at Joe George Radio, at Shawnee Mapes behind the glass, can't bleep on Presley too much if we're trying to trade him. He has to maintain a certain perceived quality or value, or we'll get scalped on the market. I mean, I don't think you're looking at Ryan Presley right now as somebody that you're trying to trade. I think you're hoping Presley is better by the end of the year, where you're hopefully in contention for the playoffs. Who's trading for a guy that is, what, mid-30s with a 5.5 ERA? Who's doing that?
A team that's really desperate for a closer?
But who would be so desperate that they're going to trade for a guy that has been a closer before, where he's not handling this role well? And this idea that somebody being used in a role that they're not primarily used for is such a detriment and something that makes them worse on the mound is crazy to me. We can't cater to everybody's obsessive compulsive disorder.
No, you can't. Like, that's not how the world works. Like, you can't just you cannot do. Then why would you not have, why would you sign Josh Hader then? Like if you were so worried about his ego and emotions, like, then you wouldn't have made the Josh Hader move. You just would have kept Ryan Pressly. They brought in Josh Hader for a reason. Josh Hader was brought in after they lost Kendall Graveman. Like, it's not like Pressly went down and he was the reaction. They brought in Josh Hader to be the new closer of this team. And there's no reason to why Ryan Pressly can't be demoted into a different role at this point just to try something different. Just try it out. See how it goes. You know, I mean, like, you know, he's already been demoted once. What's another demotion? You're still getting paid the same. That's also why it's not really a demotion. Your contract doesn't change because you don't close games.
It's also a situation where if he doesn't like pitching in the eighth inning, why would pitching in the sixth make it any better? You're getting farther away from his comfort zone.
Because you have more innings to potentially recover from losing the lead.
Yeah, just give us the number we have to hit, all right? Mm-hmm. Give it to us early so we can aim for it.
Exactly. I mean, look, we see so many teams and their record when they're trailing after seven innings. And the Astros, I think, only have two wins when they're trailing after seven innings all year.
I think they're still at two, yeah.
So, given that that's the case, like, maybe you want to, if you're going to be trailing in the sixth or something like that. On our at ESPN Houston YouTube channel, Keith asks, can we at least give the Crane Gang props for getting Hader? The bees call them the Crane Gang, right? I like to call them the Skull and Bones Letterman Jacket Society with, a little Jim Crane, Jeff Bagwell, Reggie Jackson, potentially Craig Biggio. Okay, I mean, they got Josh Hader. Cool. Hader also shares blame in yesterday's loss. Keith continues saying Presley's trade value is going down after every appearance. And I think anyone who's looking at Presley's trade value, stop. It's not going to get you anything that you need for this season.
What value? What are you trading Ryan Pressly for? A player who...
Cash considerations, because you're close to the next luxury tax threshold.
But if Ryan Pressly was on another team and the Astros wanted to acquire him, like, that's the guy you trade Jose Abreu for. Bad contract for bad contract, bad player for bad player.
I was thinking like another reliever with like who's good in the past and has like a 5 ERA. You're like, hey, listen, maybe he'll suck less with you.
Yeah.
Like just say, hey, change of scenery. Like, that's what this guy needs. And you just make a swap of like, okay. And honestly, you could talk yourself into it kind of working with the Astros because Ryan Pressly makes the amount of money he does and has been as good as he has been for the Astros, where it's actually easier to like, hey, new guy, get demoted. Welcome to the sixth inning. Where it's easier to do that than it is to do that to Ryan Pressly.
You're probably trading Ryan Pressly for someone that, if they were to make a trade, someone that is a Phil Maton-esque level relief pitcher and a Forrest Whitley-style prospect that's had three Tommy Johns.
Yes.
And once was a good prospect.
A 27-year-old prospect who hasn't made the majors yet. Where you're like, all right, I don't know. I don't know if we can still call him a prospect at this point.
The Twitch chimes in. King of Twitch says, yeah, he needs a fresh start somewhere else. Junior Broncos mentions that Baltimore, I guess, has mentioned Ryan Pressly less than a month ago. Tampering, take away first-round pick. Give it to the Astros. How about that? My kitchen is dirty, says trade him to the New York Metropolitans. Yeah, the Mets are so out of it. I don't think they're going to be doing any adding.
For Ryan Clifford and Drew Gooden.
To bring him back.
Or just another $100 million closer.
King of Twitch.
He's already been demoted. They're closer there.
Yeah, that's a worse
contract. Edwin Diaz.
It's a worse
contract. I know it is.
Trade Ryan Pressly for Kendall Graveman. Oh, wait. It's a little sarcasm here. Look, you're not trading Presley. Presley's not getting you anything that helps you this year. They're going to do what they're doing with Jose Abreu for the rest of this year. They're going to hope it gets better, and they're going to keep on putting the guy out there, and it's probably going to cost the Astros games along the way. They're hoping for this to change. Why is it going to change?
Could you trade Ryan Presley for a guy who just picked up his ninth save of the season and bring back Hector Neris?
I mean, it would be nice, but no.
Presley for Neris.
Send it in.
Why would the Cubs send Neris over here?
Because they don't have a real closer, and they don't really like using him.
Ryan Presley, I'm sorry, guys.
I know he's not. I don't know.
We need to stop talking about him like he is the guy he used to be. He's just not. This is not meant as a damnation of his entire career. He did some great things for the Astros, but much like Dallas Keuchel, he just doesn't have it anymore.
But what if all he needs to do is be a closer again?
Yeah.
No. I just don't buy into this idea, oh, if he's in a different role, he'll be better. Will he? His stuff is not as good.
Where did James Click get hired? In Toronto?
I don't know.
I think so.
Blue Jays hire former Astros GM James Click. Maybe James Click sees something.
You think James Click's going to want to make a deal with this team? Like, he would say F you.
No.
James Click, and I don't think he made the deal to get Presley.
He didn't, but at least he was here with Presley.
Just a friendly
face. So he knows him.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe this is the solution. Someone that you could use instead of Ryan Presley. I can't believe who the Astros have been linked to over the course of this weekend. And it appears that there is at least some teeth to this rumor that this guy, who I think all of you hate, could be an Astro in the near future. Who are we talking about? You'll find out next. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
It's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
So, it seems like there actually might be some teeth to this rumor. Some who live online over the weekend may have noticed Trevor Bauer on his Instagram story posting a video of picking up an Astros hat. This is the same Trevor Bauer who has on numerous times called out the Houston Astros for perceived cheating, and the same Trevor Bauer who has been at the center of allegations of assault. One of these stories, it seems, was completely made up. Some of these other stories we're not so sure about. Whatever the case, Bauer's already not very well liked by Houston Astros fans. Bauer has this off-the-field stuff in his wake. But from the sound of things, and I was looking for a Rosenthal or Olney or Passan kind of account, Joe, to confirm that this indeed had happened, but from the sound of things, the Astros may have watched Trevor Bauer throw a bullpen session over the weekend. That is surprising to me. Do you look at Trevor Bauer, Joe, as somebody who's going to be able to help out the Houston Astros in 2024?
I mean, based off what he posts on social media, he's doing pretty well this year.
Define pretty well.
He's set a record for most strikeouts in a row in the Mexican League game he was in.
Okay.
So, actually, like, they're doing this really cool thing where I was just, like, they have him mic'd up during games, and he's making content out of it. I don't want the Astros to sign Trevor Bauer. I made my stance clear on that early on when we did the show, when we started doing the show. I think it'd be a mistake. I get they're desperate now at this point, you know, with Javier and Urquidy done for the year and done for next year. Like people keep saying, like, oh, they might pitch in September. Okay, keep believing that. They're not going to pitch in 2025. I would be stunned if they did this. I mean, like, all it takes is a Twitter search to find Trevor Bauer in a t-shirt that says Trash Town in it with the Astros logo and stuff like that. There's been so much animosity between him and this organization that would surprise me, honestly.
I don't see the club us accepting him because of that.
Like, and normally I don't really care. Like, you'll get along with your teammates or you won't. But, like, this seems pretty extreme to what he has said about the Astros organization. And not just the organization, about the fans, about the front offices that they've had. Everything going back to the cheating scandal, he has been you know, enemy number one for the Astros, whether it's because of his actions or the way that he's just talked about the team. This would surprise me. I'll be honest, Bonda, whatever his name is, I think he's a fraud. Like, I'm just being straight up. Like, I don't, like, he's the one who put it out there. I know he's gotten a couple things right. I know his sources are just Astros media members that are working for the team, and they tell him little things here and there. I don't buy it. Like, I don't really buy that they are in the Trevor Bauer business, and I don't think they should be in the Trevor Bauer business.
Bauer succeeding in the Mexican League does not make me feel like his struggles over in Japan are so far in the rearview mirror. I want to see him do this against, you know, major league hitters. And to bring him into this clubhouse, do any of us look at Joe Espada as someone who would be able to mediate things between guys who have been in the Astros organization for a while and this guy who seems like he can't shut up?
Yeah. No. There's no way Joe Espada can handle that.
And maybe Espada doesn't need to handle that. Maybe it's supposed to be someone in the Astros clubhouse, but I would then ask the question, well, who is going to be that person? Because for what it's worth, the one thing that you can always say about this Astros clubhouse is that they seem to be a very tight-knit group. Maybe they're not the same that they were last year, but bringing him in, I feel like, not only welcomes, oh, he might just suck now, it also, and you're going to lose some games because you're throwing him out there out of desperation, there's also the possibility where he just doesn't mesh with any of these guys and creates more issues than solutions.
And honestly, like, if he's bad, it would rile your fan base up even more. Like there are already going to be people who don't like it. I don't really believe also the people who say, like, they're not going to watch the team. It was the same people who said they weren't going to watch the team with Osuna when he was on it. They still watch the games. People say that online. I don't think they really ever truly mean it. But if you bring in Bauer and then he's terrible for you, then it's a black eye on the organization, and your fans are questioning your judgment.
Justin Verlander and Lance McCullers spoke out against the Astros adding Roberto Osuna, who at the very least was a good pitcher in the major leagues at that point in his career. I really wonder what this team would do if they actually brought in Bauer. And I don't think things are at the point right now, even though they are struggling, of course. I don't think things are at the point right now where this kind of desperation is warranted. And I see some people pushing back to an extent on the Twitch, specifically Junior Bronco. Like, hey, what do you have to lose? I think is sort of the idea behind some of the stuff that's being said here. But I actually think that there is something to lose here if you bring him in. I'm not convinced that he's still good. I get it. Wow, he pitched well in Mexico. Cool. Great. Wonderful. I mean, the Mike Fiers League? Great. He's good over there.
Mike Fiers was in League City the other day. He was in my backyard, apparently.
Oh, yeah?
Playing softball. Someone got him to sign a rat trap.
Did you go over say hi?
I should. If I would have known ahead of time, I probably would have gone to try to talk to Mike Fiers. But I did not know. It was too late. It's not just about the... Like, it's about the clubhouse. Like, this is not a, like, look, he is not charged with anything.
Okay? I'm not talking about the off the field stuff, really. I don't know that he's the same player.
Yeah.
And I do feel pretty comfortable saying, like, the guy is annoying as hell.
Yeah. Like right? the Twitch here is having a conversation trying to ask what the difference is between Joe Mixon and Trevor Bauer.
That's a fair question.
You're right. But the difference is, to me, is pretty cut and dry. The Texans players want Joe Mixon to be there. I don't think Alex Bregman and Lance McCullers and some of these guys who have been here since 17 want Trevor Bauer to be here. It's the off-the-field stuff. It's not about the lawsuit that he went through. It's about what he said about the organization. It's what he said about the players, what he said about the fans. Like, it's not about the charges that got dropped against him. And, like, it looks like he got set up. I don't think there's any, like, those are facts. This is not – it's about the teammates – in this situation.
At least by Lindsey Hill, but there's supposedly other allegations.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I think, what's happening here is people are questioning, like, the moral stand against, like, if there's a moral stand against signing Trevor Bauer, they're like, well, let's question the morality. Is it actually the Lindsey Hill thing? Whatever. It's like, no. We're saying that we don't think that the guys in the locker room will even like him. Like, we're not even going – it's not about morality. This is strictly about the person, the personality of Trevor Bauer, where the Dodgers he was on the Dodgers as these came out. But even before then, there are stories about the Dodgers clubhouse didn't really love Trevor Bauer, and the Dodgers clubhouse isn't the Astros clubhouse, right. The ones that he has called cheaters.
No one had his back during that incident. When all that stuff came to light, no one defended him.
People maybe defended it was because, Deshaun Watson.
Right. Deshaun Watson had tons of support. You're right. And Deshaun Watson, I mean, how many instances were there?
24?
Yeah. With Trevor Bauer, I'm not sure what the number actually is, but none of his teammates in L.A. had his back. So if they don't like him.
Do with that information as you will.
And he's not necessarily the same guy that he used to be. What's the point of this?
Think about the Dodgers. Like, Walker Buehler is pitching this year, coming off when he missed a lengthy amount of time for Tommy John. Dustin May, one of their young prospects, is back, or is out. Clayton Kershaw, we all know his story. He's always hurt. So what did they do this offseason? Well, they signed Shohei Ohtani, who can't pitch this year, and they signed Glasnow, who always gets hurt. Why aren't they signing Trevor Bauer? I don't know, man, because no one likes this dude. Like, it's an indictment on Trevor Bauer, the teammate, of why he's not in baseball. So I would be shocked if the Astros signed him. I would be shocked if Trevor Bauer ever plays in the MLB again, because I think everyone thinks he just kind of sucks. Like, it's not about,
I don't think this is a moral stand.
This dude stinks.
I think if people liked him, he would be in the MLB.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Honestly, I mean, from a us doing radio perspective, from a content, while the Astros are a sub-500 baseball team, I mean,
through the roof.
It'd be awesome.
YouTube numbers, big time.
So the Astros side, Trevor Bauer. I mean, we could throw that clickbait stuff out there. It would be good for us from a content perspective. But is he still good? I don't know. No, probably not.
He's dominating the Mexican League.
Dominating the Mexican League.
Yeah. They should, just to see how good the Mexican League is, they should send Jose Abreu to the Mexican League and just see what his numbers are.
I like that. I like
just,
that
just as like a, well, how hard is this league?
Leagues that I think are probably better than the Mexican League. The Japanese League, the Cuban League.
Triple A?
Yes. Triple A is probably better.
Double A?
Like, you know, the other thing
Korean League?
Yep. I used to bet on that during the pandemic. Really bored.
Taiwan? Did you say the Taiwan League?
Does Taiwan have a league?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One China. One
China. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Chinese Taipei.
You know who else?
Can I tell you? Sorry.
I'm gonna change this a little bit.
Hit me.
Okay. Like, have we talked much about the starting pitching being a problem over the last couple, days? Like, they've been pretty damn good, right?
Yeah.
Isn't just the bullpen the
just
problem?
Just the guys whose arms explode.
Yeah. Like, isn't the bullpen the problem right now? You know who's in the Japan Pacific League right now, who last year had a 0.92 ERA and this year has a 2.82 ERA, and last year in 2022 in the Mexican League, the same one that Trevor Bauer's in, had a 1.35 ERA? Roberto Osuna. So, like, that's why aren't we having that conversation? Like, he's dominating in these irrelevant baseball leagues that don't really matter to us. Like, why not bring him? His ERA is less than 3. It was less than 1 last year.
Got some familiarity with the Astros clubhouse.
Like, knows the system.
He already knows the people that don't want to talk to him here. Like, problem solved.
can they rehire Brandon Talman?
He already knows not to talk to Justin Verlander. Go get him.
That makes more sense. Honestly, that makes more sense. Isn't that crazy?
Or it makes just the same amount of sense, which is very little.
Right.
Yeah. Like, same thing. Like, never going to pitch in the majors again. Wonder why.
If you want to weigh in on that, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on Twitter at Gallant Says, at Joe George Radio, at Shawnee Mapes, on our YouTube channel at ESPN Houston, twitch.tv/ESPN975. So that is on the table for the rest of today's show. And is it acceptable to be happy with the Astros taking 2 of 3 over the weekend? Coming up next, we are 87 days away from the start of the NFL season, and I gotta say, this head coach that everybody loves is resorting to hack tactics. You'll hear him next. Stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
87 days away from the start of the NFL season. Who is the greatest number 87? Is it 1, Rob Gronkowski, 2, Travis Kelce? Joe?
Gronk.
Good.
Travis Kelce's awesome, but Gronk's a way better blocker and just as good offensively.
Gronk would beat Travis Kelce in a one-on-one battle to the death, but Travis Kelce is better at finessing his way to getting open. Mm. Both are great. I think Gronk is better as an all-around player.
I totally agree. It's close. I mean, Travis Kelce, if he keeps doing what he's doing for like 3 years, I would say it's gonna be pretty hard to, you know, not argue Kelce.
He might have these Super Bowl rings argument if that matters.
Rings,
and he also might have the statistical argument as well.
It would become a longevity versus peak thing, mm-hmm. where Gronk here for a good time, not a long time.
If either of you guys had picked Travis Kelce, I would have quit. Just quit.
I didn't say I didn't pick Travis Kelce.
Just walked out. So now you're thinking about picking Travis Kelce? I would have just walked out. Would have walked out.
I did a quick little just like Google search.
No.
And this looking top at some five numbers. List that I found from this website doesn't have Gronk in its top five.
I'll kill them. With words, because it's illegal to murder.
Number one, Reggie Wayne.
Oh.
Number two, Willie Davis.
Who?
Don't know.
Okay.
Travis Kelce. Musa Muhammad. This sucks.
This is great. I'm in.
Claude, and then something called a Claude Humphrey.
Number one?
No, number five. I went from first to fifth.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So this is Travis Kelce. This list stinks.
Reggie Wayne's the best number 87 of all time?
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he was the number two wide receiver on that team with Marvin Harrison.
If you would have said that this list like was written in 2010, I would have believed you until you got into Kelce. Like, Kelsey's the only evidence that this is from recent times in any point.
They had to have forgotten. Or they're just being a hipster and picked random guys to play football way back in, like, the 60s. Because I'm guessing Willie Davis is a player from the 60s.
60 to 69.
He's the last guy from the 1940s.
No, 70s.
Okay, cool.
I was going to say his name's Claude, so probably.
Yeah. this frog in our American football leagues. So I don't know how many people saw this, but Mike McDaniel, head coach of the Miami Dolphins, he is resorting to hack coach tactics.
Mm.
The kind of things that I feel like somebody does before they get canned. Mike McDaniel has set staff schedule meetings at times that end in 24 to represent the 24 years it's been since the Miami Dolphins have won a playoff game.
So lame.
I like Mike McDaniel. This is the hackiest thing that I have seen a coach do in quite some time, and that is saying something. This is for high school coaches.
Yeah, it sounds like a high school.
This is pretty. Or I was gonna say Joe Judge probably loves this idea. Like, there's a lot of former failed NFL. Mike Pettine probably loved this idea. There's a lot of guys who I think love this idea who you don't want to be in your cheering section.
Let's just hope he gets fired. Okay. Bobby Slowick out, Mike McDaniel in.
There we go. There
like,
we go.
That's the way. D'Amico, like head coach, he wouldn't do this cheesy stuff.
No.
So he won't let McDaniel do it.
Just call the plays, all right?
Yeah. Just smoke your vape and call your plays, okay?
If it was 24 for the 24 hours in a day.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
And that's bad, but that's better than 24 years. Like, They have guys on their team. They're like 22. They're like, cool, don't care.
Florio might have toked up over the weekend, and he put together himself a little hot spin off of this, where of like actually the number that they should be doing is 2, because it's been the last 2 years where they've had collapses down the stretch.
Ooh,
but it is accurate. It is accurate. Yeah. I mean, the team's been there. It's been the last 2 years. They haven't won a playoff game in a long time, but that history has nothing to do with the players who are currently there. And unless McDaniel is doing this as an elaborate bit, which is definitely on the table. I mean, he is a trolley fellow. He's a smart, smart guy. He's pretty funny as well. But to me, I feel like this is beneath him. This is like Tony Sperano burying the ball.
We're going to bury the ball after losing this game.
It's one of those things that, like, the Texans are going to text him is a thing, obviously. That stuff dies at some point when you have new regimes. Like once D'Amico and CJ got here, That stuff kind of goes away.
Yeah. I mean, look, what the Seahawks did this offseason with their new head coach, Mike McDaniel. The Seahawks won a Super Bowl and made it to a Super Bowl within the last, doing math now, 11 years.
Yeah.
And they ripped down all of the pictures across the team facilities that showed them winning those games. And some people were taken aback by that, ex-players. But those ex-players have nothing to do with the current players. Pete Carroll's not there anymore. I understand trying to turn the page from that perspective. Yeah. But this Dolphins team has nothing to do with the team that hasn't been there for 24 years.
No,
to a second round of the playoffs.
The year that they lost with like Matt Moore or whoever in a playoff game, doesn't matter. Chad Pennington, doesn't matter.
Love Chad Pennington.
Cleo Lemon, doesn't matter.
Don't even know who that is. Don't remember him.
Like a 2007-08 era Miami Dolphins.
And to Sean's point earlier, Jalen Waddle, 25. He was one. The last time.
He's like, man, I remember hearing about that Dan Marino playoff win.
Growing up, isn't he from here? Isn't he from Houston?
Probably. Just,
the whole thing, I don't get coaches that do stuff like this. Because your players probably don't respect it either. They're probably just like, this is so
That's cool. What I mean. Like, for Mike McDaniel, who's got that cool factor going on, I would imagine some of the players are like, really, dude?
Yeah.
And it would be totally fair to do that. Speaking of really, dude, I don't think he announced this via a song, but... Giants tight end Darren Waller is officially retiring from football. I guess he had difficulty breathing last November. He said the symptoms began after he drove home from shooting a video for his music career. Good God. And he began shaking uncontrollably and losing consciousness. Thankfully, he's okay. This is a guy who had some drug issues in the past, led to some suspensions. So I think some people might put their tinfoil hat on and wonder, hey, did anything like that happen? And are the Giants and he working together to... keep it close to the vest, but
yeah.
Very strange to see a guy retire who not too long ago was one of the better tight ends of the league, and he has had quite the offseason between ending his relationship with WNBA smoke Kelsey Plum and this.
Didn't he start it this year, this offseason too?
Start a musician?
No, didn't he get married like this year?
No, it was last
offseason. Was it last offseason? Right.
I think they made it like 10 months or something. It was some like crazy.
I don't want to
less than a year.
No, this isn't a Kim Kardashian, Chris Humphries.
No, not okay. It's not a full Humphries.
Good to know.
The half Humphries.
I don't get Darren Waller at all. Like, this whole story is so
seems
bizarre.
Like he's got a lot going on.
Like, even like reading this description, the first thing it made me think of was the fake horse riding competition thing. They said our group chat.
Oh yeah, there's this thing called professional hobby horsing,
where like they ride a broomstick with a horse head
on
it.
Yeah, we'll do that in garbage time later in the week.
Okay,
you'll get to hear that lady talking about how much she goes through as a professional hobby horser.
Yeah, I just like,
but not quite what Darren Waller's going through.
Hey, he's got to make his music videos though.
That's true.
Probably the most the second most surprising thing about it was that he filmed a music video in November of this year.
Yeah, where were we? Did we just miss it? Like, is there just like a deep archive of Darren Waller,
albums that
I mean,
we
this
have to
is the kind
through.
Of stuff that I traditionally am going to find before anyone because I think it's hilarious, and I did not even find it. So I mean,
his last one is really the Kelsey Plum. Divorce. Like, it really catapulted his career.
I think it's because it was divorce related. I think the normal musical stylings of Darren Waller, I don't think that gets the people going.
It's because he has a fake Kelsey Plum in the video, too. Like, are we sure he didn't just retire because his last video went so viral and he thinks that he has, like, a career now?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, look, technically, he did get views on it.
Yeah, he did.
On Twitter. I remember looking up the YouTube video.
Views are views.
YouTube did not do well.
Views are views.
Yeah, they don't pay you, are they? Views?
Yeah, YouTube it would be more. Better if people clicked on the... Darren Waller YouTube channel to watch it.
Let's take a look-see here.
His career is still young.
He's at 380K now.
See?
That feels low for her.
It does. I mean, I bet you on Twitter it's like millions.
3 million. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not proportional.
Look, this is, Lonnie Johnson back with the Houston Texans. Significantly less views for the life of Lotto, the reality show. But hey, maybe it's back. Maybe it's back this year.
I forgot he was back on the team.
Yep, he is. Yeah, somebody commented on our YouTube video. Check out our YouTube channel at ESPN Houston. Talking about like, hey, why is no one talking about Lonnie Johnson? Exactly. One last thing. We have to do a little bit of a cleanup here. So Josh Jacobs, now Packers running back, said that the Brazilian game between the Packers and Eagles is going to take place the Friday of NFL's opening weekend. He said that no one on either of these teams might be able to wear green while in Brazil because it's a color associated with violent gangs. Jacobs had to clarify, saying, "Damn, I was misinformed. Sorry, Brazil. See you soon." The NFL said that that statement was inaccurate. The misinformation stemmed from where this game is going to be played, Arena Corinthians. The home soccer team, Corinthians, in Sao Paulo, tells its players not to wear the color green because it's worn by rival Palmeiras. But that does not apply to American football teams in this NFL statement. Playing in the stadium, and there will be plenty of green on the field and in the stands. For Packers-Eagles, September 6th. I gotta say, this feels like some NFL whitewashing and telling him to make sure that this international game does not look like it is going to be a disaster, which it will.
Just to be clear, though, like,
it will be an absolute disaster.
His belief was that they were told not to wear green, and the NFL chose two teams that only wear green to play in this game.
Yes.
Okay. Because the Eagles are going to play there, like, every year now, or every other year now, and they're not going to be allowed to wear. What were they going to wear?
White.
What about their helmets?
Packers are gold.
Color up.
No, they, now,
Eagles have the black ones,
now,
maybe.
They did bring up people.
Yeah,
did
the
bring
black
up,
ones.
There's also those other jerseys. I'm trying. Okay, so the
The blue and yellow ones.
The
yes.
blue and yellow, awful, like, awful ones. And then the Packers have one too, where it's this like navy blue with the yellow circle in the middle, and it would have been the worst uniform matchup in the history of the NFL. Now that you could have sold me on.
That's not off the table. I didn't.
Like, there'd be a. It would be so great if. In the NFL, they had 1 week where every team just wore the worst possible uniforms that they could in their history.
I mean, the Giants are wearing their awful uniforms week one. Yeah.
If they just did a throwback week, but it's like, no, this is going to be the worst looking stuff imaginable.
Yeah.
They will. I think it's on the table that both these teams wear that. I think the NFL is full of it, acting like this is not necessarily a problem. If the players for that soccer team can't wear green, what? You think that they're going to differentiate for a couple of NFL players who are visiting? Hell no. This is Brazil. It is not a country on the level of the United States of America. Crime is out of control there. It is going to be a disaster that they hold this game there. It's an insult that we continue to put all of these games in other countries. Call me a MAGA person or whatever. It is ridiculous that we are playing these games in other countries. No one effing cares except for Americans that are living there. Stop. Stop trying to expand it. You're putting players at risk by playing games in Brazil. You're putting players at risk by playing games in Mexico City. Stop. Call me xenophobic. I don't care. They shouldn't be playing those games there.
Well, like, they didn't dispel, like, the armed guard stuff. They talked about the green jerseys. Like they did not say, hey, no, they're only going to be allowed to be in their hotel room and travel with armed security.
Yeah, they didn't talk about any of that. It's just about the green jerseys. Yeah. That's the only thing the NFL clarified there. Come on.
Because that means it's the only part that wasn't true.
Exactly.
But the rest of it is.
Exactly.
It's like, your point.
They want Josh Jacobs to
Why
shut
are they
up
doing this?
Because they don't want this event to look bad before it already happens.
Yeah.
I already do. It's an embarrassment that the opening weekend of the NFL is going to have a game in Brazil.
Hey, but at least it's going to be on a Friday night.
Also annoying, whatever. He is Joe George. I am Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Interesting take on the Twitch as regards to Trevor Bauer potentially being a Houston Astros that I wanted to react to. And we got to give you a deep steel blue pill. I think we've been, you know, negative vibing it a little bit too much today. Stick around. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this deep steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Vibes were off, man. The vibes were off.
So we need good vibes.
Yeah, I'm mad about the NFL playing games in Brazil. I'm mad about the Astros not being able to pull off their second sweep of the year. That two-game sweep against the Rockies does not count. It's two games. That's not a sweep. That's back-to-back wins. Not a sweep.
Fact.
You need to have three. J.J. Watt. Mm. You might remember him. Number 99 in the program.
Player.
Number one in your hearts. Softball game?
It's a good softball player, I've heard.
Interesting.
He plays in a game, at least.
Astros?
Hmm?
Just kidding. At least they're hitting with runners in scoring position. That, not the problem for the Astros this weekend. Six runs, seven runs, seven runs in their three games against the Angels. But J.J. Watt was asked for his opinion about the C.J. Stroud media tour. He's been talking a lot. Here's what he had to say.
I don't mind it as long as you back it up. That's how it always goes. Sports are backing it up. I mean, talking on the Colts, he beat the Colts. So we won the division. We beat the Colts for the division.
You guys are doing a lot of chirping. You win one playoff
game in
100
years. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I think that's competitors. especially once you start to, I mean, I've been in that situation before, you know, during my career, you put yourself out there a lot, you're welcoming feedback onto yourself.
Yeah.
Then you have to go out there and perform, and sometimes it makes you perform even better.
I'm a little annoyed by Pat McAfee saying the Texans have one playoff win in 100 years. A little annoyed by that.
And they're trying to, you know, create a little rivalry here. A real football player versus a punter, you know.
The Colts' last playoff victory was against the Houston Texans, but it was Saturday, January 5th of 2019. So it's been a while, including over a stretch where the Texans didn't do much in the playoffs. But to just look at how much we've heard from CJ Stroud this offseason, any annoyance or are you liking how open he is with it?
Yeah, I'm a little annoyed.
You're a little annoyed.
I just think he's talking a lot. Like, he's got to back it up this year. And part of the reason why I think that is because I was trying to find it after I heard this quote the first time from JJ. But JJ was on Part of My Take shortly after you retired. And he talked about how, you know, he regretted not the public talking, but the amount of endorsements and things like that that he was doing to take him away from football as he had, like, his early success with the Texans. That, like, really as his career exploded, he talked about how he spent too much time away from football and focusing on other things. And, like, he sometimes wished he had that back a little bit. And that's kind of just, you know, CJ's everywhere. I get it. He's a star. But Patrick Mahomes is not doing this. Josh Allen is not doing this. Lamar Jackson is not doing this. So you can shoot your shot, but as JJ said in this clip, you got to back it up if you're going to be doing all this stuff.
They did win that game against the Colts at the end of the year. If those guys are talking trash to you, in a way, though, I mean, why can't he clap back?
I view it more as just like the general stuff of all the podcast appearances and everything that he's doing. And that's where I'm annoyed.
It was back in February. He did the NBA celebrity game and the Travis Scott celebrity game in, like, 24 hours, whereas just like when we've gotten CJ Stroud, we've gotten a lot of CJ Stroud. Obviously, the world tour he went on with Micah Parsons. So I get what you're saying, Joe.
I do kind of like that. I do. I think I mentioned this the other day. Like, I would like this to turn into something. The Texans don't have anything that, like, gets me excited. Honestly, like, I like football games, but, like, there's no rivalry.
Even, like, with Pat McAfee, like, every time he's on with JJ and throws shots at the Texans, I am just like, okay, dude. Like, whatever.
Hey, man, I recovered an onside kick against you guys back in the day.
Yes, Pat said that's the loudest he's ever heard a stadium was right before that happened. Was NRG.
Texas Colts?
Which, like, blew my mind.
That is surprising to me, too.
I was like, why are you gassing them up for no reason? Because there's no way that's true.
Yeah, I was going to say, also, didn't he, I assume he played in, like, other stadiums at some point.
He also played in a Super Bowl.
Well, Super Bowl's got that wine and cheese corporate crowd.
That's true. But it was, you know, Prince.
That's why they never opened the roof at NRG Stadium. Hashtag home field advantage. Mm. Dabs. J.J. Watt, also with Pat McAfee, was asked if it's going to be the greatest year in the history of the Houston Texans. Give me that deep steel blue pill, Sean!
I mean, I think when you look at the roster construction, when you look at D'Amico and what he was able to do last year in his first year, and then you give him another full offseason with this group and the people they've added to it, I think that the expectations are very, very high for this group.
Then you're gonna.
I also know how difficult the NFL is.
Why are you doing all the bullshit?
They went to ask him tomorrow, I think, about if he's going to play or not. And then he gave one of his JJ wires. I'm working out every day, but I don't know, and I might, and I might not. Like,
I do like Pat calling him out at the very end.
Yeah, I'm kind of over, like, the old JJ Watt's going to come back.
I'm much more over
he's
that.
He's not going to play.
Than I am over the idea that CJ Stroud is talking too much this offseason.
Because the JJ thing seems, like, way far-fetched at this point that he's ever going to play.
It feels like a thing where it's had, like, two different news cycles already. And now every time he's on with McAfee, they have to ask him about it to try to get a third news cycle out of it.
I think it's
like, guys, no one's buying this.
I think Texans Twitter is just, like, racking up the views for McAfee. It must be that.
It has to be throw some catnip out
there. Yeah, and just, like, watch him go.
There's so much catnip out there, though. I mean, we are rolling in all of the Texans content mm-hmm. that's available. Everyone is hyping them up. And that's why we give you the Deep Steel Blue Pill just about every single day. Everyone, you know, pants tense. They're lasting a while. Don't call your doctor yet. Wait until they lose a couple of games in September to start freaking out about that.
I can't wait.
Junior Broncos had an interesting twitch in when it comes to our conversation about whether or not the Houston Astros should think about Trevor Bauer. There were rumors, and I don't know if they've actually been corroborated or substantiated, that they witnessed him throwing a bullpen session. What we do know is that Trevor Bauer was trolling a little bit at the very least by posting on his Instagram story a picture of him or a video of him picking up a Houston Astros hat. Junior Broncos had this to say. The Astros might actually play better with a fresh injection of hate and booze. Do you buy into that?
I mean, it works for Altuve. The louder you boo that man, the farther his home runs go, it seems like. I kind of do. They've thrived on that.
I don't know if Bauer, though, a once every five games kind of appearance is going to turn the Astros into the pariah that they were right after all the sign-stealing stuff went public. I just don't think it's going to happen that quickly.
Also, this Astros team is different in a lot of ways to previous Astros teams who fed off the negativity. I just pulled it up. Their record away from Minute Maid Park this year, 13-18. So I don't know if the boos help.
So they're actually better at home.
Well, maybe no one's
yes,
booing this
they're
year.
They're 17-18 at home.
Ah!
Why are you booing a bad team? What's the point?
Well, it's not a bad team at home anymore because last year they had a worse record.
Yeah.
Hey, they fixed the batter's eye, okay? Now they just need to fix all the road stadiums to be good again.
Figured something out, that's for sure.
Is the Bauer thing, do you think the Bauer thing would translate to stadiums no matter where he signs? Like the no. anger? It seems more like a social media.
Yes, I agree.
Like the Astros was bigger because it was on every radio show, every talk show across the country.
Oh, yeah.
The Astros cheating scandal was the biggest story in sports.
I was up in Seattle defending the wall. It was annoying. I was like, can we not talk about this? Because, like, I'm just going to look like an a-hole in Seattle.
Oh, yeah. You definitely were.
Because I was like, this is not as big of a deal as it's being made out to be. Also, Spygate wasn't a big deal either. And they were like, you like the Patriots too? I'll kill you.
But, like, Bauer signing, I just don't think outside social media, like, it really.
I agree.
If he signed with the Royals, no one would care.
Yeah.
The Royals are a better team than the Astros this year. If he signed with the Royals, people would not care.
Yeah.
It's just because people, I think, would like to have another reason to hate on the Astros. But,
yeah.
I mean, right now the Astros are giving them all the content they need by being bad. Or at least a sub-500 baseball team.
Bad.
But there's lots of time left. There's lots of time left.
There's lots of time.
It's like 2-3 over the weekend. Oh, my God. Joe George, Paul Gallant. Kalani George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That was perhaps a little bit too high-pitched. Sorry for anybody's eardrums out there. The Astros did take 2 of 3 against the Angels over the weekend. Should we be looking at that, I guess, technical success in a optimistic way as they head to San Francisco this weekend? That's on the table. Kalani George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Stick around.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.